I invite everyone into the sanctuary for our service.
I don't think they heard me.
40 years ago, two small congregations, Blenheim and Bean, became Nith Valley. During those 40 years, Nith Valley has seen many changes, but some things remain constant. That is faith, fellowship, service, and support of each other. We have been challenged to read our Bibles regularly, to serve one another, our community, and our world. We have been encouraged to participate in church activities and committees. We have shared each other's joys, sorrows, and concerns. During the next 40 years and more, we hope our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren can see Nith Valley continuing to grow in faith, in spirit, friendship, and most importantly, love. Welcome you this morning to our special day of celebrating 40 years that Bean and Blenheim joined together and became Nith Valley. And our service hopefully will reflect the celebration and a feeling of continuing to move on. At this time, we'll prepare our minds and hearts for a time of anticipation for our service. For the call to worship, I invite you to turn in your worship hymnal to number 726, and we will read that together. Number 726. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in unity of love and purpose, to help one another by work and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the justice and mercy we show one another, may your name be praised through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Precious Lord, come to us in love and power, reigning among us as our King and Master. Let your life flow through us, binding us together in love. Let your vision for Nith Valley be our vision. Spur us on to follow you forever. Amen. And we will have our two hymns at this time.
As we chose the music for this morning, we tried to reflect the various hymn books we used over the last 40 years. So I believe we began with the Red Book. It was published in 69, so I'm pretty sure that's what was in the pews when we came together. We weren't sure whether Life Songs was still in the rack or not, but maybe some of the rest of you remember that. And then in 79, Sing and Rejoice came out, and we used this one, and then in 92, our blue hymnal, and then finally, Sing the Journey and Sing the Story. So hopefully our music will reflect those different eras of singing. And the song that Bethany played during Time of Anticipation, Take My Hand and Lead Me, Father, that was one of Ken's favorites, and we want to remember him this morning. He was one of our choristers for sure for so many years with Helen at the piano. And And the other chorister I was thinking about while I was preparing was Lou, because he would have been full of information about all these hymns that we're singing, and I'm not Lou. So check the bottoms of the the little writings at the bottom of the hymns. So we're going to begin with number 6 here in this place in our blue hymnal. I think this was a favorite of Harold Schilk's, actually. And when we accepted the blue hymnal, we began to sing less four-part harmony. We had an accompaniment book to go with the blue hymnal, so we were stretched a little bit that way. So let's sing together verses 1, 2, and 4 of Here in This Place, and let's stand. The next one I chose was actually in the red book, The Lord is King, O Praise His Name. As I said, this book came out in 69, and it was a combination of the General Conference, which was more Russian Mennonite, and the old Mennonite church. So some German came in, and of course the rich choral singing that was so important to the Russian Mennonites. So there's a lot of heavy singing and heavy theology in this old red book. So let's do verses 1 and 2, and then verse 1 in German for Henrika and all the German ancestors that came before us.
Thank you.
I welcome the children to come forward for Children's Star and Story with Judy.
Now, I remember I brought my mom for quilting, and I always overnight retreats, and then religion, all things to do with Christianity, scripture readings, and memorization, and then sponsorships, like the Laotian family and the refugee from El Salvador. And then we have service projects. I remember going to Toronto Tools Month, helping to feed people that were homeless, and then teaching Sunday school and doing time with the children. Ushering, a welcome, a bulletin, and collecting the offering. Vacation Bible school, doing stories, drama skits, and snacks. Volunteering and visiting in the community. And weddings, my own, my sister's, my brother's. Work projects at Silver Lake, at Fraser Lake with the youth. And then there was the great excitement of working with youth and going to youth convention, especially in BC, which is British Columbia, and going whitewater rafting. That was a thrill. And then there is the zest for the future of Nith Valley and the church family. What do you think you'll be doing 4 years from now? Anybody know how many jelly beans are in those jars?
40.
You were absolutely right. You were watching along there. There are 40 jelly beans in that. What would you do with 40 jelly beans? I guess you would eat them. But I'm not going to let you eat the 40 that are in here, because you'll give those maybe to... Should you give them to Matthew? Do you think Matthew's supposed to 40 years old?
Yes.
All right. Working good for you, Phil, that's great. What do you think you'll be doing?
Working?
Getting married. Oh, there's another one, 40 years. Oh, that's all of you. You'll be pretty old when you get married. And I see somebody who needs to sit up. What did I start off with? I still have the teacher in me, right? Okay. On your way back, you can come up and let's see how many jelly beans you
six.
Get. Six.
20.
I think I'll give each of you two. So you can come and take two of them. I'll put the rest of them down. So you're putting two hands up, you think you're getting one. And you've got four. Well, I'll get back to you.
Maybe I'm a bit slow, Judy, but it took me till P to realize that you were going through the alphabet. And then I thought there'd only be 26 jelly beans in the jar. That was very well done. Thank you, Judy. Stirred a lot of good memories.
I don't know whether any of the children thought that, but that's what
I've done. Oh, I'm sure they were ahead of me by a long shot. That was very creative. Yeah, very good. Okay, we're going to sing number 78 in the duotang, Living Stones. And this became a favorite song during AMSI's time with us, I believe. And, we'll sing this one together.
Thank you.
Today's scripture is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I'm reading from the New International Version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with fear, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And now, Matthew, we look forward to your message.
Today is just another Sunday, cold and wintry. Some people here, others gone, engaged in other activities. A normal Sunday, and yet this day is different. It is a special day, celebrating 40 years of Nith Valley. Today we pause and we mark the beginning of Nith Valley Mennonite Church. According to my understanding, Bean and Blenheim congregations met together during the fall of 1974, and then early in January, the final decision was made to formally become a new congregation. And we mark that beginning this morning of meeting in January, recognizing that the old no longer exists and the new has begun. So we celebrate the decision of those leaders, for we are the legacy of that decision 40 years ago, two churches ending their existence, Bean and Blenheim, and birthing something new, new yet familiar and faithful to the history they had inherited. At church council, we decided that we're not planning to have any elaborate celebrations today and throughout this year, and I think that likely reflects a lot of the character who we are as Nith Valley and who we are as individuals and within our own families. And yet it is important to stop, remember, to give thanks and to ponder what the next 40 years will bring to this community. We do that today as we worship, as we enjoy a piece of cake after the service. Throughout the year, various pictures will be hung on bulletin boards to help us remember the activities and the stories of the past 40 years. Occasionally in worship, someone will share a memory or two of their experience of Nith Valley in the past and their dreams for the future. If you would like to share, please let me know. With this in mind, before I reflect on Acts 2, I'll share a brief note from AMSI. AMSI and Doris are away at a 60th anniversary celebration for friends of theirs, and I had asked him, and he was not able to be here, but he just sent this short note this week. I came to this newly formed congregation 2 years after it was established. I had been a part of joining two congregations in Toronto. I had served as pastor of the Morningside Mennonite Church, a daughter church of Danforth Mennonite, which was the first urban Mennonite church in Ontario. When these two congregations were combined, it was a daughter church coming back to the mother church. The pastors of both congregations remained as co-pastors of Morningside Danforth Mennonite. About 3 years of this arrangement, leadership encouraged one of us to take on a new assignment. And I accepted the new assignment as pastor of the Nith Valley Mennonite congregation. This newly formed congregation was a very different experience. It was a coming together of two congregations that had much in common and a history of participating together for a variety of events in the past. As a pastor of this new congregation, I had no prior history with either community and was not aware of who had been part of either Blenheim or Bean congregations. In hindsight, I am aware that most committees were made up of people from each congregation, but this was never evident to me at the time. No one ever mentioned, at Blenheim or Bean, we used to do it this way. The leadership of each congregation made wise decisions for the coming together to seem so normal. My time as pastor was a very satisfying experience for which I've always been very grateful. Doris and I feel comfortable coming back as members of Nith Valley. It is encouraging to see the commitment and talent of the next generation of wise leaders giving shape to the future of this congregation. So Amzie's words this morning. So as we celebrate today, I am drawn to the Acts 2 text which has been read. Following the events of Pentecost, Luke records that around the disciples, a worshiping community was forming, which practiced a variety of spiritual habits. We see in this text and others that as the first disciples came to understand their shared life and living witness in Christ, they developed personal and communal activities to sustain one another. I sense that these practices were present as Nephthali was being birthed, and they are important for our health and our vitality for the next 40 years. The Five Loaves is a worship devotional resource website that we receive a weekly email from. To be honest, I don't look at it that often when it comes, but I do appreciate their basic description. And in that, they describe the five spiritual practices of a spiritual community based on Acts 2, verse 42. And I'm going to use their categories or language this morning. We offer radical hospitality, seek the teachings, pray always, tell the stories of grace and blessing, and give your gifts. The five spiritual practices of a spiritual community. Practices, if you reflect back on Judy's passage through the alphabet there, those memories retouch on these practices. And Lori and I didn't know you were going through the alphabet either, but... On this day when we celebrate 40 years as a church family, and as I reflect on this text, even though many institutions crumble around us, including the shifting and changing in the church, I am hopeful. I believe a returning to and maintaining these core spiritual practices instead of clinging to traditional practices, how we sit, how we dress, style of music, the list can go on and on, of traditional practices which are filled with cultural assumptions and norms, will be extremely important and life-giving if we let go of them and cling to the spiritual practices. I suspect the church will look quite different 40 years from now. But if we continue to nurture ourselves in these spiritual practices, we can have hope. There will be a church 40 years from now. 46 and verse 47, day by day as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. We have hope. There will be a church in 40 years. I strongly believe that we have good news to share, a tradition of practice and living rooted in the life of Jesus, empowered by God's Spirit who dwells in Jesus and who dwells in us all. We are called to follow and share this good news. People do observe us. People learn from us, follow us, make judgments about Christianity, about Jesus, based upon us and how we live. Are we happy with what they are seeing, hearing, with the conclusions they are drawing based upon our lives? Where are we going? Do we want people to follow us? Are we worth following? Important questions for us to ponder. With these questions in mind, we turn to our text, believing that as we follow Jesus, grounding ourselves in these five practices, we are worth following. These practices have enriched, and I pray they will continue to guide and enrich our lives both individually and communally here at Nephthali. Let us briefly look at each one. Offering radical hospitality, koinonia. This practice reminds us of community, fellowship, and the practice of hospitality that recognizes our connection in Christ. In our spiritual searching, we think of ourselves far too frequently as just individuals without any connection to others. Yet we are always part of a larger community, and our actions always affect others, whether we realize it, pay attention to those effects, or not. The essential meaning of the Greek word koinonia is community or fellowship, a spiritual worldview that is somewhat countercultural today, emphasizing community, fellowship, our impact on others. Koinonia is a practice of hospitality that recognizes our connection in Christ and our connection with others. When we are truly open ourselves to the needs of others, even for a brief moment in helping a stranger, we are changed. Such radical hospitality is rooted in the gospel commandment that compels us to love God and also to love our neighbor. When we reach out in faith to the needs of others, we change from being simply consumers of life to being fully engaged in life, living fully in the body of Christ and as the body of Christ. God prospers the work of our hands as we engage in community. Our koinonia becomes an example for others of how to live. We have opened ourselves over the years to the needs of others by sharing resources through the church and MCC, MDS, disaster relief, cleanup crews, serving in Guatemala, the Elders Fund, helping neighbors in our local community after a crisis, walking a neighbor into our church or into our home. In a world of extremists, Islamic and Christian, where the other is feared and violently eliminated, we have stories of koinonia which need to be shared, motivating us to continue to offer radical hospitality. What are the simple ways you might override your fears and reach out to those in need within your workplace, neighborhood, or community, especially to those in need within your workplace, neighborhood, or community who are different than you, who are easy to label as the other and to fear and distance ourselves from? Seek the teachings. Didache refers to the activity of teaching and learning, of seeking wisdom by following Christ and listening to the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life requires the regular practice of seeking wisdom and understanding. The disciples called Jesus teacher, and we read in the scriptures that the early community devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Didache names our desire to go deeper, to hear the inner voice that directs our heart. The Word is revealed to us in many ways, through the scriptures, through the writings of the prophets and the mystics, through the witness of holy men and women living as disciples throughout history, through experiences that teach us, through friends who offer insight to us, through moments of discovery in suffering and difficult times, through reading, contemplation, meditation, and all types of prayer. In all these ways, the Word is revealed to us. Over the years at Nith Valley, we have met in worship, Sunday school, times of Bible study, Bible reading, and Bible quizzing, for workshops and retreats to engage in and learn the Word. We have sung, worshiped, and studied together. This has shaped us, and it will shape us moving forward. How we do this? As Lois showed a few different hymnals, the books we sing from, how frequently, where we gather, all these things has and will continue to change, but it is essential that we discipline ourselves to take moments to gather as an individual in study and meditation, prayer, and as a community, gathering to study and to learn. Where do you turn regularly for inspiration and guidance, for wisdom and perspective? What practices help your understanding in life's difficult moments and help you to hear the voice of the teacher. Pray always, Liturgia. This practice understands that the work of the people, the work of the people is our prayer and worship directed to God, and this is done through serving others. The spiritual life requires time for reflection and prayer, but sometimes we limit our understanding of prayer to what we say or do in a church or in personal prayer. In fact, our whole being prays when we serve others. The first disciples understood liturgia as service or worship. The work of the people is our worship, is our prayer directed to God. Through prayer, we become more aware of our life in the body of Christ, more conscious of our connectedness with others. As we pray, we become mindful of those in the midst of suffering, illness, tragedy, violence, poverty, and so many others who are in need. As we pray, our prayer is united with those of others through the Holy Spirit, and we can no longer look away. We are called into relationship and action. Petition and action are linked together all as prayer. Embracing Christ calls us to embrace the suffering of the world just as Christ did. Prayer and worship leads us into serving others. Serving others leads us, draws us back into prayer and worship. They are connected. They are one. We have taken time over the past 40 years to gather in prayer together, regularly praying in worship for the needs of others. Even more so, we have gathered in prayerful ways as we have packaged gifts for the Christmas hampers, brought food items for the food bank, quilted and knotted, assembled health and school kits, fed a grieving family, brought food to a family in crisis, sat with a friend, not knowing what to say, but simply being present, perhaps holding their hand. It is important that we continue to reach out in prayer, naming others, lighting candles in quiet prayer for others, and through serving and reaching out to others in concrete, physical ways. No, we cannot solve all the world's problems, but we can pray. And in prayer, we voice our concerns and we engage in actively caring for the person that we can see, touch, and smell, the person that we can help in a particular moment in our church and in our community. What are the prayer moments, places, and practices that feed your soul? What have been those moments of actively engaging in serving others that you have felt, experienced connection to others and to God? Tell the stories of grace and blessing, kerygma. This practice calls us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ by regularly sharing with others the amazing grace and blessing that we have experienced. The spiritual life helps us reconcile and embrace the fullness of our living. We proclaim Christ crucified and his being raised from the dead by God. That is the Paschal mystery. We come to life. We experience life in moments of letting go. In moments of death, we experience renewal, the core of the Paschal mystery that we proclaim. With the wisdom of years, we come to a deeper understanding of how God walks with us, is present in all things, great and small. We are called to give voice to the experience of God's presence in our lives, and we are called to be a Christ-like presence in the lives of others. As we tell the stories of grace and blessing along the way, we discover the fullness of God's grace and blessing in our lives. Not all of us have been given the gift of preaching and teaching, But all of us share the responsibility to tell the stories of God's abundant blessings. Historically, we have been known as the quiet in the land, slow to give voice to our faith and experience of God's blessing and salvation. At times, though, we have done it, and people have been encouraged and strengthened by our friendships, by our conversations, by our words of encouragement. Many have engaged in the years in our community activities, in our community. Some have committed to walk the Jesus way. Some have joined the church. In our divided and extremist world, it is imperative that we find ways to give voice to our experience of God's blessing, not condemning others, but inviting others into relationship with God who dwells within them, giving voice to our experience of God's blessing and grace in our lives, not prescriptive of the way that they must live and do and be, but instructive of how God has moved in us through Jesus the Christ. What are the simple ways that you have discovered to proclaim the good news in your daily life? With whom are you comfortable? With whom are there conversations waiting for you to engage in, to be present to another, and to give voice to your experience of God's grace and blessing in your life? Give your gifts, diaconia. This practice names our responsibility to make a difference in the world, serving God by using our unique set of gifts and talents for the good of all creation. What are our unique gifts as individual and our unique gift as this congregation? The full understanding of the spiritual life comes when we believe that our unique gift is necessary for the body of Christ. Each of our unique gifts is necessary for this body of Christ, and our unique gift as Nith Valley is necessary for the larger Mennonite and Christian body of Christ here in this community and in our province, country, world. Throughout our lives, we discover our particular gifts and talents. Some of us are gifted in music, in art, or in science. Others are talented in organization, in physical ability or sport. Some of us are blessed with a sense of humor, with the ability to listen and give comfort, or in reconciling, in bringing different conflict situations, in bringing them together. When we use our God-given talents and abilities to the fullest, we give praise to the giver of all gifts. We each have a unique set of talents for only one reason, to give them away where they are needed. And that, again, I think is a part of the Paschal mystery. The more we cling to our gifts, the way they seem to disappear from us. The more we give them away, we share them, they seem to multiply, grow, enhance. We have been and are a gifted community. We have given ourselves time, energy, and money to many things in our church and in our community to help others. Music and speakers, directing choirs, Christmas programs, leading VBS, MOPS, girls and boys clubs, youth trips, serving meals, working on committees and ministry teams. The list can go on and on. In the early years, we were involved with the beginning of Wilmot Family Resource Center and the Interfaith Community Counseling Center. We've been involved in the Canada Brunch, through which we have gifted projects in our community from Hidden Acres to MRF. Recently, we've begun to share a gift of food preparation hospitality with the House of Friendship Men's Hostel. Throughout the years, many have volunteered beyond our church on parachurch boards, social agency boards, parent councils, board of trades, and as coaches, using our gifts to make a difference in the world. This is what we are called to do. What are the ways that you have discovered your particular talents? And what are the ways that you have discovered that your particular talents are helpful to others? The Believer's Church Commentary ends its reflection on Acts 2 with the following comments. The impact of the newly Spirit-filled Jerusalem church upon the people around them might well be a model for all congregations everywhere. Here, transformed persons show such mutual love and are used of the Spirit for wonders and signs that they draw others in large numbers. It is an evangelism of attraction. Nothing is so appealing to hurting, spiritual hungry people as a body of people just like themselves, but who have now been changed into victorious, joy-filled Christians. God uses such believers along with miracles to add daily those being saved. How we understand mission, the role of the church is shifting, but I truly believe that God continues to move within us, the church, and that people are longing to be in relationship with real people who are willing to reach out, to be involved in relationship, who are willing to step outside themselves and to care for themselves and to care for others. This is the good news that we celebrate. These are the practices which have shaped us, I believe, and are the practices which will continue to shape us as we move into the next 40 years of our lives here at Nith Valley.
Take your blue hymnals and turn to number 76, Je louerai l'Éternel. This song, I felt, introduced us to other languages and cultures and stretched our world beyond Wilmot Township. And I remember it was a favorite of Gladwin Bender's. So let's sing together verse 1 in French and then verse 2 and 3. Let's stand to sing.
Je t'aime, 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 je t'aime
May the ushers come forward, please, to collect the offering. Let us pray. Holy living God, your love for us is very great. Open our ears to hear the cries of the needy as you hear them, and give us the heart to act. Open our eyes to see injustice as you see it, and give us the heart to act. Open our minds to think about compassion in all circumstances as you are compassionate, and give us the heart to act. Increase our willingness to give as you are so willing to give to us. We give these offerings in gratitude for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the time for announcements, so if you have any announcements to make, you may come up at this time. Two announcements. Next week, we will welcome Max Kennel. Some of you might know, the genealogy, but Max grew up at Steinman's Mennonite Church. He's now an MTS student at Grable, and he will preach next Sunday, and Matthew and I will be away next weekend. So please welcome him. He's young, and he has served for a short period of time at Cross Hill Mennonite Church and is now finishing his degree. So I hope you can welcome him next week. Also, on behalf of the Fellowship Committee, I want you to mark two dates. On Friday, January the 30th, that's at the end of the month, last Friday of the month, at 7:30, we'll have a movie night here at the church, and hope you can feel that in the cold of winter, you can find some warmth in the fellowship that we'll have together in the fun. And then just for the women, I want to highlight, I know it's a little ways away, but we'll have a retreat on Saturday, February the 28th, and that will be all day, an all-day retreat. And our guest speakers are Laura Mullet-Coop and Beth Welk from St. Catharines, and they will lead us with some sessions.
number 54 and sing The Journey, Longing for Light. I think this song reflects the church of the future, much more socially and peace and justice conscious, and it has become a favorite here too, I think. Let's sing together 1, 2, 4, and 5.
As we gather longing for light, truth, hope, peace, water, food, shelter, and warmth for all people, we gather confident in Christ our light, who shines through the darkness in our hearts, world, and church. With this longing and confidence, we celebrate 40 years, and we anticipate 40 more. With this longing and confidence, we bring our concern for the environment, our community, for France, for extremists around the world who resort to violence. With this longing and confidence, we bring our particular joys and concerns to mind as we pray today. If you wish to share publicly a joy or concern, I invite you to do so at this time.
We would like to ask for prayer for Tim and Juanita and family, as Tim's mom passed away on Friday, and our funeral is tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.
My sister-in-law, Brenda Peters, died this morning after a very brief illness. Her family is struggling at this time because her sister's husband just died on the way to Florida, and they had a funeral service for him this past weekend.
I would like to thank everybody for their prayers and support. My father passed away last Sunday afternoon at approximately 4:30. My older brother Morris was with him. Just like to say thank you for all your support over the last couple weeks.
The sharing makes me mindful of, even in 14 years of the past 40 of being pastors here, and during the last song, my mind drifted to a variety of people who are not here through death. And just, yeah, mindful of that. And for those of you who have been a part of all 40 years, I am sure your mind drifts to many special people and rich relationships and people at moments in a time like an anniversary is often one of those where you stop and you reflect. Those special people, I am sure, come to mind. And it doesn't matter how many years have passed. That coming to mind can bring a smile, a laugh. It could also bring a tear as one remembers rich relationships. We give thanks for those richness of relationships, but that means we also feel the pain of their loss. The other thing that struck me during the last song was simply the recognition of the richness of this community, the strength that people have experienced, and the sadness of that not all people experience the community the same way. So I am sure we're mindful of those over the last 40 years, different people who are not here who have passed away, but you're also mindful as you sit and you reflect on the last 40 years of different people that you really value and whose relationships you value who have chosen to not be a part of the congregation and might still be in the community, but they perhaps have not and did not experience the congregation in the same way that you have as a welcoming, safe place. So I think it's important that we celebrate the richness of who we are, but also in that be mindful of the continued challenge to grow in our ability to be a place of welcome for all in our community. There is no more sharing. We are going to, the words of prayer this morning are going to be sung words of prayer. So be mindful of the specific sharing that has been shared and the other joys and concerns that are present in your own heart as you have come this morning and will sing in your sickness. And we'll sing it through twice as our prayer.
Thank you.
And our final hymn that has definitely become a favorite here, I believe, is Rain Down, number 49, in Sing the Journey. And would someone like to do the rain stick? Hanneke? Okay, come on up. And children, if there's others of you that want to play some instruments, why don't you come up and let's really do this upright. This is a great song of hope and trust in our God. So number 49, Rain Down, and let's all stand to sing.
In 40 years, I've never heard such a joyful, happy song. For our benediction, we have that on the wall there, and we will do this as it's written. The people on the left side are this side, the east side, and the right side is the west side. What is our vision? Why are we here? To love God with all our being and love others as ourselves. What is our mission? What do we do? As a faith community, we are inspired by our shared and dynamic faith in the living God. We are strengthened by nurturing the unique gifts we see in each other, and we are energized by God's Spirit within us to serve others. What do we value? What is important to us? We value growing. As Mennonites, we value our Anabaptist heritage, and from these roots, we strive to grow in relevant ways of sharing love, creating peace, and demanding justice for all. As we go from this place committed to walking together in the way of Jesus, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.